20. I think that works out to a little bit less than 30%, somewhere around there. I think I did the math on it one time. I don't know. But 120 of them waited until they were endued with power, and they got to see 3,000 people get born again in one service. Amen? And it kept going from there. And now we're at this place where Peter and John, after getting this man healed, not everybody appreciated it. Can you imagine someone having a problem with someone getting healed? This guy sat at this gate, and he was there every day, lame, couldn't walk, and no telling how many people passed him every day, every service. But God wanted to do something. See, God's looking for more than just you. He's looking to change a city, a nation. He's looking to change the world. How's he going to change the world? He's going to do it through you. Say, God's going to change the world through me. Say, God's going to change Palmyra through me. Say, God's going to change Lebanon County through me. Say, God's going to change Dauphin County through me. Say, God's going to change the United States through me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Those who believe it, it should show in their actions. And we should live unashamedly about our faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When you walk by faith, you will be challenged by the enemy. But the question is, do you have enough conviction about what you believe to withstand opposition? Because immediately when this guy got saved, they wanted to know by what authority or by what power the Sanhedrin. They were the religious rulers, the elders of Israel. They were the rulers of the people. They had this group called the Sanhedrin. It was like the city council. And they wanted to know by what authority and by what power this man was made whole. First of all, they couldn't deny what happened. Because when this man got healed, he joined Peter and John leaping, praising, walking, leaping, and praising God. So the miracle was right in front of them. I want you to know that this miracle took place publicly. God doesn't do things, he doesn't display his power in secret. Why? Because once again, he's got the world on his mind. He wants as many people to see his power in manifestation and in demonstration as possible. And when they were called on the carpet, by what authority and what power you did this miracle? Peter and John didn't have to have, they didn't have to say, excuse us for a minute, let us discuss this. All right? They were said it was through faith, it was through the name of Jesus, and faith is in his name that made this man whole. When opposition came, they relied on their conviction of what they believed. See, you've got to be convinced of what God said so that when it's opposed, you can stand on it. Too many people have wishy-washy faith. When they're opposed, they run. They hide. They quit. They give in. Do you think in the last 10 years that we've had some opposition here? I could tell you stories of things that at the time shocked me. I was shocked at how people think. But anyway, that's another time, another place. But see, there's two things that we need to change our community. Number one is we need courage. We need people who are willing to act even if there's fear there. We need some brave people who are willing to take a stand for what's right no matter what. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, and I'm not moving from it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. You can put me in prison. You can beat me. You can ruin everything. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to change what I believe. If we want to change our community, that's how we need to be. That's how Peter and John were. They didn't put off the blame on something else. They were bold. That's another thing we're going to need. I'm going to talk to you today about courage and boldness. Because the city council came against them. What are you in for, Peter and John? Well, we got a man healed. You know, they had to keep him overnight because it was evening. So they were at the county jail overnight. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Hallelujah. And if you have courage and if you're bold, you can do great things for God. You know the story of the Hebrew midwives? There was a decree that went out. They were going to kill every male child in Egypt, 2 years and under. And the midwives did not agree with aborting babies. So what did they do? They did not kill the babies. And when they were asked what happened, they said, look, the Hebrew women are strong. They deliver the children before we get there. And what happened? God gave them houses. Read it. Exodus 1. God gave them houses. See, when you stand up for God, He will stand up for you. Your opposition may be from your own relatives. You know, your family just trains you for your purpose. Joseph, there were some brotherly problems there. Jacob loved one wife and hated the other, which God doesn't like, by the way. Those of you that are married, you better love your spouse. So they said that there is salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. And look at verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. So the city council looked at Peter and John and they said they didn't have a formal education. They weren't trained. But there was something about the way they stood up for what they believed. That's boldness. Boldness allows you to have a voice against opposition. And how many know that you need a voice against the enemy? And we just came out of the darkness into the light. So, and what made them bold? Okay, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, when you spend some time with Jesus, His character, His nature, His ability is going to rub off on you. Boldness does not come through prayer. You can't pray for boldness. Boldness comes from spending time with Jesus. Spending time in His presence. Spending time in His Word. Really, that's the ultimate goal in life, isn't it? The more you get into Jesus, the more He'll get into you. And when you open your eyes, people will see Jesus. Why? Because it's His house. It's His windows. If He wants to look through the windows anytime, He can, right? See, they didn't marvel at their preaching. They marveled at their boldness. It was their willingness to stand for what they believed in the midst of opposition. We need some bold saints today. And we need some key people in key positions of our community. Anyway, that's a little side note. So, boldness came from being with Jesus. Plus, they had the man who was healed right there. And they saw that man sitting there every day themselves too. Every time they entered into the temple, they saw him standing there. Now to see him walking and leaping and praising God. You know, the devil can say what he wants, but he can't argue against God's miraculous power. This ought to encourage you in witnessing. All you're responsible for in witnessing is tell people what you've seen and what you've heard and what you've experienced. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. When you encounter someone who doesn't know the Lord, let me just tell you what Jesus did for me. Just share what Jesus did for you. That's what witnessing is all about. Okay? They shared the resurrection. And then all they could do is threaten them. So let's look at this for a minute. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at courage for just a minute, okay? Say, I have courage. Courage doesn't mean the absence of fear. It's simply the ability to act in spite of it. To take a step. You know, it's going to take courage for you to obey God. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in God's kingdom that I haven't experienced yet. What if God decided to translate you like he translated Philip? He took Philip from one place to another. You know, you're driving on a long distance, and all of a sudden a 10-hour trip takes 7. How'd that happen? If it's in the Bible, it's possible for you. These are written for our examples. God told Joshua, verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." Didn't he just say that? You know, when God says something twice, you better listen. Was that a suggestion? Is be strong, be courageous, is that a suggestion? No, it's not. "Be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law." You know, it takes courage to do what God said. It takes courage to be faithful in little things. It takes courage to worship God. It takes courage to give. Say this with me. Say, every believer should tithe and give offerings. Hallelujah. We're not doing that type of message, but I could give you more than enough scripture that says that. But it's going to take courage. You're going to have to overcome fear. See, which is greater, God's power or fear? See, fear will paralyze you. Fear will keep you from acting. Fear will keep you quiet. Fear puts a gag order on you. But Jesus removes the gag. He says, "Open your mouth and I'll fill it." Don't worry. When you come before kings and those in authority, don't worry what you're going to say. I'll put my words in you. But we need some people with courage. See, Joshua was commissioned to take Israel into the promised land. The promised land was already given to Israel. God said it beginning with Abraham, "I'm giving you the land. I'm giving you the land through every generation. I'm giving you the land that what I promised Abraham. I'm giving you the land." But they had to still go in and possess it. There are promises right here that are available to you, but they're not automatic. You have got to acquire them and appropriate them by faith. And a true believer shows what they believe by what they say and what they do. Don't tell me you're a believer and there's no doing and no saying. Don't say you know that word if you're not doing it, because in order to know it, you got to do it. If you know it and not doing it, that's even worse. I know the truth, but I'm not doing it. You just admitted you're a fool. Be strong and courageous. Have good courage. Good courage comes from God. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 35, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. This talks about the transformation of a place. I believe with all my heart that God can transform Palmyra. I believe that Victory Christian Fellowship can run in the hundreds and the thousands and the hundreds of thousands. We just found out about a church that's in Oklahoma. They have 40,000 members. They have about 10 or 15 locations. Think about it. We could have several locations. Let's fill this one up first. It's going to take you, it's going to take me, everybody working together, having courage and being bold to fill this place up. You know, we could sit and sit. What do they say, twiddling your thumbs? What are you doing? I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for God to move. And God's up in heaven saying, I'm waiting for you. Did God not move? Did not Jesus come from heaven down to earth? Did he not give his life on the cross? Did he not pay the debt? Is it not his job finished? So why are we waiting on him? We're going to see in just a minute that, well, in a little bit, that in order for God to build his church, he's going to use us by witnessing and sharing what Jesus has done for us with others. What if they reject it? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. What did Jesus tell his disciples? If you go to a city and that city doesn't accept you, what did he tell them to do? To cry and have a pity party? Said, man, we went to this city and they rejected me. No, he said, walk out and shake the dust off your feet. Why? Because there's other cities that will accept. If you pray for someone for healing and they die, what do? You say next. Does that change God's will? Does that change God's word? Absolutely not. Quite frankly, we don't know what's in a person's heart. We can't see what, unless the Holy Spirit reveals their thoughts to you, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what they've been saying over and over and over. They might have spent 5 weeks confessing negative things, and all of a sudden you want them to be super faith person. It doesn't work that way. Isaiah 35 gives us a picture of a transformation. The wilderness and the dry land shall be what? Glad. See, when God begins to change a community, there's going to be gladness and joy. Notice the wilderness and the dry land. What makes wilderness and dry land glad? Rain, water. Hallelujah. We sang about it today. Rain down. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. How many of you ever heard reports about a desert blossoming? Well, I've tried the gospel in this community. It doesn't work. Really? Maybe you haven't tried long enough. You know what? Peter and John were told by God to preach the gospel, not the Sanhedrin. So therefore, the Sanhedrin couldn't say, you can't do it. Because they were operating by a higher authority. Okay? Isaiah 35 can happen right here in Palmyra. The desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose and the autumn crocus. Have no idea what a crocus is because I'm not a plant person. It shall blossom abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing. Hallelujah. See, there again, joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Mount Carmel and the plain of Sharon. Jesus is the rose of Sharon, isn't he? And trees of Lebanon were said to be strong. They must have been a strong wood, like kind of like oaks, because it often refers to trees from Lebanon. And then of Mount Carmel. Wasn't Mount Carmel where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal? I think. Here's what we have to do. This is what's going to take courage and boldness. Strengthen the weak hands. Listen, sometimes when you come in here, you're weak. And I've got to strengthen your hands. How do you strengthen weak hands? You're going to have to get a hold of them. You know, you're going to have to. What I'm doing is I'm reinforcing his ability to lift. You're going to have to strengthen some weak hands. You do it through encouragement. You do it through love. You do it through prayer. You do it through kindness. Every act of these things, you're strengthening weak hands. When you see someone walk into church like this, they could use some strengthening. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and he'll lead you. Okay? Make firm the feeble, tottering knees. When people are timid, the knees shake, right? Or they chatter. You got to still fear in people. How did Jesus still fear or stop fear? He'd come on the scene. He would say, number one, fear not. Then he would say, be of good cheer. I'm here. Be of good cheer. If we want to see God impact our community, we're going to have to strengthen weak hands. Weak hands make a loose net. When our hands are weak, you know, maybe you didn't know, but we all make the net. And when our hands are weak, fish are going to slip through the net. We're not going to catch them. Say to those who are of a fearful and hasty heart, be strong and fear not. It's going to take courage and boldness, isn't it? When you see someone operating in fear, should I say anything? I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit said, go, tell them. Should I go? Should I say something? Yes, you should. Say to them who have a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. Praise God, spiritually and physically. Jesus opens blind eyes. Someone could be not walking in the truth that they could have because they're blind. They don't see it. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. God will pop open your ears like Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, and pop. Verse 6, then the lame man shall leap like a hart. Isn't that what happened at the gate, beautiful? The lame man. Who brought it about? Peter and John, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because they had courage. They had courage enough to reach out. What did they do? They grabbed that man by the hands and lifted him up. They were strengthening his hands. They were making firm his feeble knees. See, bringing strength to someone could be bringing healing to someone. The lame man shall leap. The tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy. Waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. We need waters in this wilderness of Palmyra. We need streams to break forth. Wash out the old and bring in the new. We need to do some whitewater river rafting. When I was in New Zealand, I had the privilege of for 3 days, we went camping in the wilderness of New Zealand. And we were whitewater rafting. Well, it wasn't too much whitewater. It had some, I mean, the river was not too forceful. It did have a current. We did encounter some whitewater, but not much, because we were inexperienced, thank God. And for 3 days, we would go about 10 miles a day down the river, and we would camp, and we would fish. And my dad caught the first biggest trout with a worm. Praise God. Everybody was doing the fly fishing, but they weren't going for the fly, but the fish went for that worm. A trout, man, it was like a 5-pound trout like this. Freshwater trout. Man, it was good. And then I decided that I was going to go with this other guy, and we were going to go hunting on our first day. And we got to this place. It was a hill. And I said, well, you go this way, and I'll go this way, and then we'll meet back in the middle. It sounded good to both of us. And I had my rifle, you know, and I was like, Elmer Fudd, where's that rascal rabbit? I'm hunting. And I noticed that my trail that I was on kept getting smaller and smaller. And then I tripped, and I fell into the river. And that river had a swift current. That current took me like, whoo, even with the sound effect. Now, the rifle that I had was borrowed. It was, obviously, I didn't take my rifle to New Zealand, but I borrowed one from the guy there. It took everything that I had to swim to shore to fight that current. Then, when I got to shore, I looked all around, and everything looked the same. It didn't matter if I looked north, south, east, it all looked the same. I don't know if you've ever been in the bush, in the middle of a bush of nowhere that looks all the same. And listen, I'm not Davy Crockett or anything like that. And so I decided that I was going to walk along the river so that I wouldn't get lost. And come to find out, the guy that I was with, he'd already been back to camp. It was almost 9:30 and I hadn't even been back yet. And while I was walking, I was going by one of my convictions. I was singing songs that I learned as a young boy, as a young Christian. And I was praising God. And God brought me back to that camp. And wouldn't you know, now get this. This is the good part of the story. Yeah, I got back to camp at 9:30. It was already dark. People were wondering. I've been gone for like hours, wandering in the wilderness. And New Zealand is known for its hot natural pools or springs. Someone had lowered a bathtub by helicopter because right where we were camped, there was a hot natural spring. Guess what? I got to take a hot bath. See, when you get out of the wilderness, God will bless you. I got to take a hot mineral bath. We need some waters in Palmyra. Well, Pastor, that's your job. No, it's not my job. It's everybody's job. And the burning sand shall become a pool. Those who are burning in their sins shall be cooled off. And the thirsty ground, springs of water, in the haunt of jackals where lay resting shall be grass with reeds. The highway shall be there, it shall be called the holy way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring man. No lion will be there. That's awesome. I don't want any lion to come in Palmyra, spiritually speaking. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's devouring a lot of people. And it's up to you and I to stop the devouring. Go back to Acts chapter 4. Let's go to verse 23. So Peter and John, they were threatened, but they weren't going to back down. Listen, if someone tells you not to say the name of Jesus, say it. Come on. And verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, everybody got upset at the government. No, that's not what happened. But too often that's what we do. And I've been guilty of that myself. When they heard that, they complained. No, didn't complain. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Listen, they began to pray. What did they pray for? And said, Lord, you are God, which has made the heaven and the earth. They began to declare who God is. Okay? You're the creator. And in your mouth, the servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. For truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determine before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants with all boldness they may what? See, they didn't come against the city council. They said, Lord, give us boldness to speak to the city council. Give us boldness to speak to the people. Give us boldness in the midst of opposition and persecution. They prayed to have boldness. I guess what I said before, you can't pray for boldness. I guess you can. And then they prayed by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. See, they were told not to speak in Jesus' name. So their prayer wasn't against the government. Their prayer wasn't against the city council. Their prayer was to God to give them power. We need power. Because it takes power to be courageous and bold. It takes a power from within, the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you shall receive what? Power. God gives each one of us a power generator. Because he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Why? Because still water does not generate power. In order for, you ever see a hydroelectric dam at a still lake? It's always where the water can move. All right? And if they want to increase the power, they open up the dam, the floodgates, so that more power, more water can flow, so that more power can be generated. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are generating power. The Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's Jude 20. So in the midst of what happened here, their prayer was to God. They first of all, they declared who God is. They declared what God has done and what God will do. And then they asked for God's power to affect them. They didn't ask for the Sanhedrin to be removed. Because what's going to change the community? It's going to be the power of God. It is not by might. You're not going to change a community through your might. You're not going to change a community through your own strength or your own power, but you will change a community by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, a mountain will be made a molehill. By the Spirit of God, you can mold down obstacles. You can remove mountains. You can cast them into the sea and cause them to be removed from you. And then So then they prayed that God, that they would speak the word of God boldly, that God would heal, okay, that he would stretch forth his hand. And was God happy about this prayer? How did he show that he was happy? He shook the house. See, some believers need to be shook up. They need to be woke up because they're dead. Faith without works is what? Dead. If you there are a whole bunch of religious institutions that are dead. They have a form of godliness, but they deny power. There's no change. There's no healings that take place. Don't know if anybody gets born again. I grew up in one of those churches, I know. I grew up in a dead church. Yeah, they talked about God, but I never knew him. I knew about him. It wasn't until I came to know him. See, you got to know Jesus. The thing that'll make the difference in your life is knowing Jesus. God took these fishermen. They weren't great orators. I've never been around fishermen, but people always say you cuss like a sailor, you know. I don't know. I've never been around sailors. I've just heard that term. So that tells me that they must not have that great of speech capability. And it was being with Jesus. It gave them strength, courage, and boldness. And they were able to preach freely. You know, Paul talks about when he was converted, talks about how he had boldness to preach freely. You know, I don't think any of us could win an argument with Paul. Now, he was an orator, but he was anointed to do the wrong thing. He thought he was supposed to kill Christians, but that's not what God called him to do. God called him to save people. Why are we saying all this? Look, we need God's power. And it came, the power came when people prayed as one. So if we want God's power, we can't just sit around and wait for it. We got to do something about it. You know, we're teaching Gabriel to be proactive. And he gets an allowance now, but it's based on him being proactive. Being able to see a problem, and doesn't matter how the problem got there, it's just to find a solution. Amen? Doesn't matter who caused the problem. What matters is, let's solve it. The causing of the problem is not greater than the solution. Too many people focus on, why did this? Doesn't matter. Let's just solve it. I think that we need to take some time to pray today over Palmyra. And notice what happened. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They got another dose. I mean, these were ones that were all filled in Acts 2. They just got together and they got filled again, you know, because they were using what they got. You know, it's just like a gas tank. You can go to the gas station. You can fill it up. It'll say F, but you drive 200 miles and that needle's going to move. Right? You keep going, that needle will keep moving, and you need to fill it up again. Thank God that there's one initial filling and many refillings. Thank God that we can come to church like this as a filling station, amen? Not to get a donut, but to get the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see God move in my community. I want to see God move in this place. I want to see God move in every marriage, over every family in this place, in the name of Jesus. I want to see God move in your finances. Amen. I want you to be able to buy more than one house. Houses. Isn't that what they had in the Bible? Peter said, oh Lord, you know, if it's hard for a rich man to get in heaven, how's anybody going to get into heaven? Now, you wouldn't ask that if you didn't have any money, would you? And Jesus told Peter, he said, if you've left all for my sake, he said, in this lifetime you will receive houses, mothers, fathers, sister, brethren, in this lifetime. Why would God give you an extra house? Because you never know when someone might need it. How many heathens give away their houses? You know what? They sold their houses in the early church. If you read on, the Bible says they brought the proceeds. Like if you sell your house for $110,000, they brought the sale to the apostles, and the Bible said, it's the end of this chapter, no one lacked. Okay? God shook the house. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And a multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. You're talking about unity. You're talking about agreement. You're talking about harmony. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon who? It was upon them all. God's got some grace for us today, but I think we need to just stand up and we need to pray. Amen? We need to pray that God would stretch forth his hand to heal. We need to pray. Now, if you're not willing to act courageously and boldly, you may not want to pray this prayer. Did you hear me? If you're not willing to carry it out, then you might as well just smile and look happy. But for those that are serious, this is for the serious believer who wants to press in to get more of God. We need courage and we need boldness. And those two things transformed a community. Because through that, another 2,000 people were added because it said their number grew to 5,000. So if we just get a couple people that have some courage and have some boldness and they're willing to get a hold of heaven. Amen? I need some saints that can get a hold of heaven. Praise God. I want you just to pray. Pray your heart out. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today here at 695 East Ridge Road, and we call upon you, Father. We ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, heal the people of Palmyra. Heal every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to use us to heal people. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. And Father, we ask you to give us boldness that we may speak the word of God boldly in the name of Jesus. God needs some bold witnesses, some bold testifiers, some people who aren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We're crying out for you, God. We're crying out, Father, for a move of your Holy Spirit. We're crying out, Father, for our community in the name of Jesus. Let the work begin right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Stir our hearts, Father. Stir our hearts. Fill us full of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We call upon you, mighty God. You are a great God. You're the Creator. You're the Savior. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. It's your will that all men be saved in the name of Jesus. If you don't know what God's will is, become a
place. And Pastor Doug mentioned earlier in his sermon about Victory Christian Fellowship. It's not a coincidence that we're on the hill. And then as he was going on, the Lord gave me a picture. If you're not familiar, as you drive down the driveway on the left-hand side going down, there's a huge area. It's called a detention pond. It's kind of a deep area. It would look like a dry pond right now. There's not water in there. But I feel like the Lord is saying, this is a place, and you and I are vessels, a place prepared to hold that water, to hold the water of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have felt like, you know, I can't do that. You know, my past isn't right, or I'm not able to let the Holy Spirit flow through me. Well, it's my understanding that that detention pond was not originally meant to be here, but it was kind of a last requirement by the township or something. It was a requirement to put in. So God, I believe, is showing us that's a picture that we are prepared. You are prepared. I am prepared. Victory Christian Fellowship is a place where he wants to rain down his spirit.
Amen. Amen. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're seeing more and more people step out and share.
Amen.
That's what this is all about. You know, a greater move of God requires a greater commitment. Now, they were having church every day. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have church every day, but here's what something that we all can do. How many can get or make some invitations? Okay. On for Resurrection Day, we're going to be talking about walking in the resurrection power. I want you to make some invitations or get some invitations. And if you know some people specifically that don't go to church, or maybe they're in a dead church, amen? I want you to personally give them an invitation. Make it, get it, however you want to do it, but let's be proactive and let's invite people to come. Amen? We all can do that, can't we? We know people, and the people that you know people. So take a step of faith and personalize the invitation, all right? See, I'm not having us make them, so I'm learning.
Well, we have many postcards in the back.
Yes.
Things that happen here, you could utilize those as well. But put your personal note. That's the key.
And, you know, we got to be willing, if people come here that look different, smell different, seem different, that's because they are different. We need to welcome them.
Right.
We need to love them.
Amen.
We need to accept them. Amen? Jesus never said to his crowds, I'm sorry, but you can't come here, but you can. Because, you know, the church is a place where they can get healed.
Amen.
And we are the church. And we need to focus on souls. If you want to ever go witnessing, I would encourage you to hook up with Al. He is a great witnesser. Him and I, we went out witnessing one night, and it was a great time. But we need to do more of that. If we're really serious about this thing called Christianity, it's not for the timid. It's not for the weak. It's for everybody. And this is where people can get changed. The mess of their life can get cleaned up. So it's going to require a greater commitment from everybody. Amen? But God has great things in store. It's time that we break through the hundreds. You know, I went through the list one time. If everybody would come at one time, we'd have close to 100 people. But we need to have that every week. We need to break through this barrier. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever is, if you can come on Wednesday, I would encourage you to come. And we're just carrying on with this. I don't know what's going to be next. And we're just walking. Anybody else got anything? All right. We're going into greatness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Yeah, stir yourself up at home.
So you can hook up in here. If you purchase an appliance, you know, and it worked with electricity, but there's no power cord to hook into the appliance, and you have an outlet on the wall, no matter how close you put it to the outlet, there ain't nothing going to happen. It needs that cord. It needs that thing to hook it up properly. So you can come here, we can pray it up in the atmosphere, and we do. We can stir, you know, we ask the Holy Spirit to move, and we can sing all the happy songs. But if you don't got a connection going on, nothing's going to happen. Amen? So come, prepare your hearts. Just, you could even say, Lord, I plugged myself in. I got a power cord ready to go. I'm ready to hook in when I get there. And stir yourself up. You know, I know there are times when you come here and you're just dead and dry because you've just been had it for the week. Everybody beat you up and you're just done. You can come and get refreshed here too. That's great. But if you want to just kind of be one of the people that power up so you can help those that come and they're not quite there yet, do that and come. Amen. And see how great you'll feel, actually, because you participated, man. You were one of those people that prayed for somebody and saw them come to life. And that's how we got to be. Amen. And then we can translate it during the week as we go out doing everything that we do all week.
Yeah, I mean, God wants to work through you.
Amen.
And You can read the book of Acts. I know that we did that once already, but it doesn't hurt to read it again. And because I'm doing that and whatever else the Lord wants to do. So I don't even know what's happening next. Amen. It's uncharted territory for myself too. And I'm stepping out in faith. I'm a teacher. I like notes. But you know what? It's whatever God wants. I'm not putting this any kind of limit on what God wants. And you guys that are going to D.C., you guys are going to have a great time in the Lord. I think that's ordained, and we're so excited. So if you've missed any of the services, we started three services ago. We started on a Wednesday. And last week I talked about yield and rejoice, I think. I don't even know. I have to go back and look. We do have CDs. If you want a CD, it's available for any kind of donation. Doesn't matter what the amount. All right? That just helps us defray some of the cost of the CDs. And you might not even buy it for you. Get it for someone else and give it to them. But let's hook up as a church together and let's see God's will be done. Amen? Amen? We're all here for a purpose. And one of the big purposes, there's a cause that's... Is there not a cause? There is a cause. It's the salvation of souls. Father, I bless these people today, Lord. May your anointing just cover them. May you shine upon them with your goodness and your favor. And we bless them as they go in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.